I'm Christopher Lydon. This is Open Source from the Watson Institute at Brown University, an American conversation with global attitude, we call it. This one extends the rolling Brown University seminar on Obama time, the first 10 days. Lincoln Chafee is the working Rhode Island politician in our cast. He writes and teaches now at the Watson Institute, though he's known forever as the only Republican in the United States Senate who voted against the Iraq War authorization in the fall of 2002. Link, locate yourself today, as others have done, with three quick comments, please. Your brightest hope, your gravest fear, and a word of advice to the president or to us as he takes the reins of history here.
I think the brightest hope I would have is that our stature around the world as Americans has improved. It's sunk to such abysmal levels under Bush, Cheney. We're not trusted. We're not respected, and we're not liked after 8 years of Bush and Cheney.
We're not that rich anymore either.
And the economy has created as well. This past administration inherited a surplus and a relatively peaceful world in which the countries look to the United States of America for leadership and moral authority, and that's been squandered. So I think that's the biggest repair work that needs to be done right now. Hmm. Restore our credibility, restore the respect that the Americans can chart a moral course for the world in a humble way, as the candidate George W. Bush, as governor of Texas, promised as a candidate in the elections of 2000, to have a humble foreign policy. We need to bring that back. It's a small world. We all know that. There are nuclear weapons scattered around the world. And we have no other choice.
Be presumptuous like the rest of us. Give the president a word of counsel here.
I believe he was elected. This relatively obscure Illinois state senator that burst on the scene just in July of 2000 or August of 2004, short 4 years ago when he gave the speech at the Boston Democratic Convention of 2004. What happened? He was elected senator that fall, and now he's president. 2 years later, he's president. 4 years later, he's president of the United States. And I believe that he was able to accomplish that as when he had the gift of oratory and he had the ambition. But when he entered the Democratic primaries, he was the one that was most fervently opposed to the Iraq War. And he had the record of it. He spoke out against it as an Illinois state senator. And that's what really gathered the momentum to him. Hillary had voted for the war. Biden had voted for the war. Dodd had voted for the war. Kucinich really wasn't a factor. That's what galvanized, I believe. Same thing in 2004 with Dean. Howard Dean was able to get momentum because he was fervently against the war and what had happened and the immorality of it. And so my advice for Obama, that's what got you elected. There are a lot of people that really want stability and peace in the world.
Lincoln Chafee, you were a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, special interest in the Middle East, also in Latin America. Review, especially the Middle East, a very daunting agenda. George Mitchell's off to the near Middle East, Richard Holbrooke to Afghanistan. What's the agenda? What's exciting, what's not?
I will be honest. I've been disappointed in the silence from the Obama team as the Israelis invaded Gaza. And I just don't see that working for the long-term security of Israel, stirring up the Muslim world. And I would have hoped that, Obama was still not president yet. He was President-elect Obama. Just a few words of disappointment in how this is going to affect the region. And now it just makes the task of peace in the Middle East harder and harder. And the hatreds are ratcheted up. When children are killed and houses are demolished, I don't see it working. And it's been a mystery to me for my time in the Senate as I served on the Foreign Relations Committee and chairman of the Middle East Subcommittee. How does this agenda work for Israel? I don't understand it.
What would the Chafee agenda be today?
Well, it boils down to Gaza and the West Bank, which for the fundamentalists that believe in the word of God is a non-starter, and both as Christians and Jews, that the West Bank and Gaza as the promised land can become a Palestinian state. There is a religious difficulty for some on ever coming to that, But I think that the reality is that that has to occur for there to be peace. Without it, there will never be peace. And in this age of nuclear weapons, that's not good for anybody. We have to have peace. And the West Bank and Gaza have to be a Palestinian state, living side by side in peace with Israel.
So many people have come to observe, too, that they cannot make peace between the parties. What's the American role here?
We have to play a role. Unfortunately, with nuclear weapons being deliverable over thousands of miles, we're affected by it. And Pakistan has nuclear weapons, a Muslim country of 150 million people in the neighborhood. I think we have a role to play here. And that is to just keep pushing what President Bush promised, a Palestinian state viable and contiguous, living side by side in peace with Israel. We have to continue to push to that goal. President Bush talked about a viable, contiguous Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Israel, but he never did one thing to make it a reality. And I was there for it as a senator, watching and urging and following this. You're saying the words, but you're not doing anything about it. And that's one of the reasons we lost such credibility throughout the Muslim and Arab world.
Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State is taken as something of a status quo gesture in the Middle East. How would you reasonably expect President Obama to signal a change?
I think the biggest way would be to see some real concrete action on the issues that the Palestinians care most about. And the top of that list is the expansions of the settlements in the disputed territories, particularly the West Bank. Expansion of the settlements, building of Israeli settlements in this disputed land that's supposed to be a Palestinian state eventually. Mm. That's the goal. And impossible as long as Israeli housing continues in the West Bank. It's that would be the biggest, I believe, concrete action that would send a message that the Americans are serious.
Bob Simon's fascinating report on 60 Minutes the other night suggests that the settlement has reached the point now that a two-state solution is virtually unimaginable.
I'm sure there's some that have said that, but you can't have that thought, because then peace is unimaginable. And for me, there's no obstacle for peace. And people tell me that of those people living in the settlements, they've been given financial compensation for moving there and the like. About 80% would willingly leave, and another 10% might need some financial help to leave, and then their 10% will have to be carried forcibly out. Maybe those figures are wrong, but it's a good start.
How do you read two things, Senator Chafee? First, the president's address to the Islamic world the other day, in which he said America is not your enemy, that we were not born as a colonial power, clearly with a readiness to start again. And then the dispatch of two special envoys, Richard Holbrooke, George Mitchell. What does that tell you?
That's a terrific first start, early in administration, to send this message and these two special envoys to the region. But for the Arabs, after seeing the words over and over again from George W. Bush, never backed up by any action, I'm sure there's some cynicism about here are the Americans go again, saying all the right things. I think that's just a reality. We want action, if that's what the Arabs are saying.
What should they know about Obama?
Change is in the air, and that's good. Our democracy is strong. In the 2008 elections, a long shot of a candidate, many would have thought, through charisma and tremendous gifts of organizing and speaking, is now the leader of this great country. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the world is very happy about that.
In the Western Hemisphere, Lincoln Chafee, I saw it in Cuba, there's this palpable anticipation, hope in something fresh out of President Obama. What's your expectation?
Again, probably coming from the South Americans and Central Americans' point of view, they just want to be recognized for the gains they are making, democracy taking root, the process working, constitutional reforms. Sometimes we're not happy with who gets elected or what those reforms might be, but it's working. The process is working, and I think that's what our neighbors in Central America and South America want. It's just the respect, and they deserve it. The process is working. It's exciting, and it should not be ignored. All across, whether it's in Venezuela or in Bolivia or in Argentina or in Ecuador, and change is coming to Cuba, as you know, it's a time for us to watch this garden grow. And it's obviously rich in human resources and natural resources, an important area of the world, and we want them to be our friends. When I visited with President Chavez in Venezuela, it was interesting, the long discussion we had with several other senators that were with me on the trip. One thing he said was that he didn't get the respect when he won as president of Venezuela, the visit to the Oval Office. And I believe he mentioned sitting in front of the fireplace where the world leaders get their photo taken with the American president. He didn't get that respect. And he was sharing whether it was probably because of his friendship with Castro and the Cuban-Americans are important in Florida, and Florida is an important state. So he understood the political dynamics of it. But nonetheless, as the saying goes, he was dissed. And he was not happy about it. And what has happened from that relatively insignificant omission, an escalation of words and actions and alliances with Iran and Russia, and just so counterproductive what we should be doing. Invite the man to the Oval Office, extend a hand of friendship, as many other past presidents have done, whether it's Eisenhower with Khrushchev or Reagan with Gorbachev or Nixon with Mao. It's amazing what extending the hand of friendship from strength will do.
Again, as a working Paul, has the Obama time changed the temperature, the climate, the possibilities in Rhode Island politics, even for a Yankee Republican like you?
I think it's a combination of Obama changing the dynamics of the politics here in Rhode Island, but probably more important, Bush Cheney ruining what was a good Republican Party. And it's non-existent in Rhode Island. It was always hard being a Republican in Rhode Island, but there was always some respect for the conservatism we might have stood for. It was a good kind of conservatism, but not anymore. That brand is ruined by Bush and Cheney, and a very radical kind of conservatism, deficits that were tax cuts to the rich that rose the deficits, the adventures overseas, the lack of caring for our environment, and on it went. A perverted kind of conservatism, if you will, from our traditional New England republicanism.
Lincoln Chafee, that's fascinating. Thank you. Sarah Archambault and Paul McCarthy produced and edited this conversation. Listeners, feedback at our website, radioopensource.org. I'm Christopher Lydon. Thanks for joining the conversation.